All right. Come on, brother. You know, since I got down here, I found out, realized that the tree allergies down here are worse than they are in Ohio. And so after I preached the first day there, I pretty much lost my voice for a day. Some people are probably real happy about that, but the truth is, the Lord's helped me get most of it back. They're teasing me about squeaking through it. I don't care if I've got to squeak or crawl. We'll be all right. But to help out here, I've asked Brother Mike to go ahead and read the passage. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 118. And I've asked him to help me. I'm going to have him read the Scripture so I can focus on the preaching. But let me just say a couple of things in starting. You know, when he sings about the old man being dead, if you can't rejoice with that, that means your old man ain't dead.
Amen.
That means your old man's still running the show. Amen. Just a little bit of help there. Amen.
Amen.
You know, this week, there's been a theme that's went throughout the whole week. And you see these things happen in meetings, and it's a real blessing because it's nothing that any of the preachers plan. Other than knowing Brother Drummond, I mean, I've known a few other folks, getting to meet some folks I haven't seen in a very, very long time. None of us got together. I said, okay, what are you going to do? I mean, and even with us being in the same hotel room, we talk about studying. You got the message God wants you. I believe we got the message. We never talked about the messages. But this week, God has interwoven all of it together. And you know, there's always going to be troubles and trials. And so I want to help you tonight as we come toward the end of this thing. It's been great. They're shouting and all that. The only reason I wasn't shouting is ain't nobody could hear me anyway because it's just me and God, you know. But the truth of the matter is all that shouting, it sounds really good right now. But as Brother Carter told us this morning a little bit, we all got to go home.
Amen.
We all got to go back to real life. Now, this is nice and I enjoy it. I love this. This is wonderful. But tomorrow, or for me, Monday, I'll head back home. And I know there's some stuff waiting. Everything that's waiting, I have no idea. But we all know there's stuff waiting, right?
Amen.
So what I want to do is I want to try to give you something to help you tonight to carry with you after this is over. And I think you'll see how it comes together before it's all done. So Psalm 118, brother, if you'd go ahead and step up there. And
yes,
if you would give him some juice on that mic there, brother, go ahead and read that, please.
Amen. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercies endure forever. Let Israel now say that His mercies endure forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercies endure forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercies endure forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desires upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about. Yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Amen. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord, the Lord is my strength and song. And it's become my salvation.
Amen.
The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth violently. I shall not die,
Amen.
But live,
yeah.
and declare the words of the Lord. The Lord had chastened me sore, but he had not given me over unto death. Amen. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation.
Amen.
The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Save now, I beseech thee. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Amen. God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. Amen. Amen.
I like that. That's good reading preaching. And it's something how you think about all the messages this week. Now, God gave me this message before I ever come here. And I knew, and I told Brother Andrew earlier, I said, I was watching things going on. I said, God already confirmed what I'm supposed to preach. I already know it. And just watching everything happen confirmed it even more. I want to call your attention, first of all, to verse 24. Verse 24 said, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
The title of the message is, this is the day. Now, I want you to realize when we say, this is the day, we're talking about today. We're talking about all the circumstances and all the situations that are happening in this day.
Amen.
The Bible says there in verse 23, this is the Lord's doing.
Right.
Now, you know what's going to help you make it in this Christian life?
Yes,
is to realize everything that's happening this day,
yes,
the good, the bad, the ugly.
Amen.
I'm just saying,
yes,
you know what it is? It's the Lord's doing.
Amen.
You know what bothers us? We don't have control over what the Lord does.
Amen.
Your growth in your Christian life is going to be based on your submission to His will,
yes, sir,
instead of your will.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And when you realize the hard times come, and listen to some of these preachers, been around in ministry a while, raising kids. You all been hurt. We all know hurt. Amen. I can show you all kind of hurt. Is that still the Lord's doing? You see, well, if God was a God of love, He wouldn't let it happen. But you see, He's the potter. He knows what the clay needs. Even when the clay don't like it. You know what you have to do? You have to realize God's in control. Regardless of whether you understand it or not. You say, well, preacher, there's some hard things. Listen, I've told some of you before, I work part-time in a funeral home. I watch hard things happen nearly every day. Babies, teenagers, suicides, drug overdoses. And some folks just get old and die. I mean, one of these days, you're all going to cross that bridge. Unless God comes back. He comes back, that's all right with me. He can come right now. I don't have to finish this. It'll be all right. The truth it is, you know what you see? You see a lot of people out there that don't have any hope. If you get stuck in all that the world has to offer, you'll end up with no hope. You know, they say that suicide among young people has gone up during the COVID. You say, well, why has it gone up? Because the world's put them in a place that doesn't give them any hope. You see, the world tells them, you got to be an athlete. You got to be a star. You got to be in sports. You got to be in entertainment. You've got to be in all this stuff. Then COVID hits and they said, now you can't do that no more. What's going to happen to your scholarships? Now you can't play sports and win a scholarship. So now how are you going to go on for school? Let me ask them, how do you think people did it before then? Our society's got away from the basic truths of how you handle life to start with. You gotta work hard. It takes effort. It's not just handed to you. A lot of the millennials think you gotta hand it to them. They deserve it. Sit around and do nothing. Just give it to them. Quit being a lazy bum. Amen. Get up off your mom's couch and get out of her basement. Amen. Don't you look at me that way. I know what I'm talking about. Sit around playing games. You know how many young marriages I've seen having all kind of trouble because the young man's still a kid playing games? He don't know how to love his wife. He don't know how to take care of his kids. But boy, he's got the highest score. He's got the highest score in a game that's not reality. I hate to break it to you, but you ain't Superman. You ain't even a good Rambo. You know what you got to do? You got to trust in the Lord. Let me tell you, when you get to that place, where everything around you is falling apart, and them pieces are all over the ground. When it's your family, when it's your church, people you love, people you pour your life into. And you're just sitting there by yourself. You're not by yourself. You draw an eye to God, He'll draw an eye to you. He'll do everything He said in this book right here to get you through it. Because this is the day the Lord hath made. Said we will rejoice and be glad in it. You say, are you super spiritual? You're crazy. When bad things happen, my first instinct is not, well, praise Jesus. Listen to me. I'm going to be honest with you. Most of you won't be honest with yourself. My first thought is, they did this, buddy, I'll fix this.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. That's right.
We used to live by a principle called payback.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
We're going to pay you back more than you paid me.
Yes, sir. Amen. Guilty. Amen.
Amen. You know what that is? That's our old wicked flesh.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Let me ask you something. Are you willing to turn it over to Him and let Him take care of it?
Yes, sir.
I guarantee you He'll do a far better job than you and I ever could do.
Amen.
But that ain't our first reaction normally. Man, just be honest with yourself. Somebody does you wrong, man, you get...
Amen. That's good.
Your kids grow up. They do things. You can't whoop them no more. You might want to. Some of you might even try to. But you know, the truth of the matter is, you did everything that you knew to do with them to bring them to where they are. It's up to them to take it from there. You better turn them over to God and let God deal with them. Mamas, quit playing the Holy Ghost. With your kids and your husband.
Amen.
We're not God.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
He said, oh, I know it's hard. I didn't say it's easy. But I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's why it's important for us to have a daily walk with Him. That's why He said this is, He didn't say this is the week. He didn't say this is the month. He didn't say this is the year. He said this is the day. You know what you and I have? We have today. Somebody said, what about tomorrow? It'll be today. You'll wake up tomorrow and it'll be today. Amen. You say, well, I've really made a mess in my past. Leave it back here. Confess it, get up, shake yourself off, and handle today. That's how you do it. Some of you won't forgive yourselves. There ain't any of us in here have made a mistake.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Some of it was outright sin we did on purpose and enjoyed it.
Preach, brother. We don't preach.
Oh, come on.
Amen.
All right, now I'm probably going to lose my voice because y'all need this. Are you kidding me? You act like everything that ever you do in your life that's a sin, it just accidentally happened. I was walking along and I just fell into sin. Oh, it was just like a mud puddle. You ever see little boys and sometimes little girls around mud puddles? Y'all know exactly what to do. There's the mud puddle. Splash all over them, you, and everything all over the place. Amen? And we do the same thing when it comes to sin. Why? Watch me. Here's what we do. Wait a minute. If it's such an accident, what was you looking for? And then you look around. This had nothing to do with it. Did you ever walk along and trip over your own 2 feet? You
know,
first thing you do is look around like... Because right then you feel real dumb. It's like I said, you know, you get older, you still don't do dumb things. You just do them slower. Listen, we got to be real with God. They use that term now, man, you got to be real. Why don't you be real with God? Be real with God. Bible says in here in verse 1 said, for He is good.
Amen.
My Bible teaches me the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. Man, I'm telling you, there's sometimes when I'm out, I sin, the Holy Spirit of God, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God will talk to you right now. He don't wait a week and bring it up. He talks right. That's how you know you're saved. If you say, well, I sin, that don't happen. You ain't saved.
Amen.
It's that simple. You say, well, I'm religious. That's what you are.
Yeah.
But man, I'll tell you what. Chastening isn't what gets me the most. I'll be honest with you. Some of us, we can grit our way through a whooping. Some of you kids, man. Some of us, you grew up, your mom and dad go give you a whooping. You tough it out. But when the goodness of God leads you to repentance, you do something wicked and then God blesses you. Man. And then the Holy Spirit says, so what do you think of that? You really think you deserve that? Ain't God good? Give us so many blessings. What's that next word say? That's what we are. You know there, he read in verse 6. I don't know, I guess I haven't been open. I don't know, I was in the military. I'll drink it anyhow. I don't care. See, we've got germs. Really? That made me want to try it. You know, he said in verse 6, the Lord is on my side. You know what, some of you need to get over? You need to get over thinking God is some big bully with a lightning bolt that can't wait for you to mess up so He can hit you with lightning.
Amen.
You know what you need to understand? He is your loving Father.
Amen.
He wants to help you. He wants you to make it. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you. Hey, the potter don't make stuff that don't have a purpose. You, what you need to do, decide, I'm going to surrender to His purpose for me. Listen, life brings some things along. I don't like a lot of the circumstances and things that happen. But you know what I know? God has a purpose. God has a plan.
Amen.
I was telling a young lady earlier after I'd resigned the church that I was at. I was trying to find the will of God. The Lord led me to Brother Drummond's church. He became my pastor. And he told me, he said, you ought to be my pastor. No, dude, you ain't getting out of this easy. You're my pastor now.
Amen.
You guys, this is trying to find the will of God. And ended up through a bunch of circumstance to get this opportunity to work at a funeral home. Some people say, we work at funeral homes. I said, wasn't my choice. The guy asked me, he said, have you ever thought about working at a funeral home? I'm like, no. I mean, how many of you woke up this morning and went, man, I'd love to work at a funeral home? That's not reality. I was just like, do they pay all right? I mean, I was working for a buck, man. I don't care about the rest. Would they pay all right? Next, paid all right. All right, I'm interested. I've been doing at church, but I've been doing at that job anyhow for 25 years. So, what difference does it make? Bunch of dead people. The difference is the dead ones I work around now, they don't give you no problems. People say, how can you work around dead people? I said, it ain't the dead ones that give you the trouble. It's them live ones. Amen. Those are the ones that mess with you. You know what he said? He said, the Lord is on my side. Do you realize God's on your side? Now, I ain't talking about you picking a fight with a brother and saying, well, God's on my side. I had a guy tell me, he said, well, you know, when you get to the judgment seat, God's going to sort it out. So if I had a problem, you know, say, Brother Tori, I had a problem with him and everything. He said, well, don't worry. God will work out the judgment seat of Christ. You know what happened? If you got that attitude, you get the judgment seat of Christ, and God will say, what's wrong with you, son? I gave you directions on how to handle these down there. You are a disobedient rebel.
Yes, sir.
Bible says if you got off with a brother, you go to him and get it worked out.
Amen.
You are willing to do that, you're wicked.
Amen.
Hey, God already gave us how to handle a problem here. We want to push it off the judgment seat of Christ. You really want to go there that way?
Right.
You know what I mean? Why don't you just be obedient to God and get her done?
Yes, sir.
Just get her done. You know, he said it's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man.
Yes.
Some of you got more confidence in your preacher than you do God.
Yes.
Now, I understand you're supposed to respect and follow your preacher. Amen.
Yes.
I ain't going to follow no man. You liar, you do too. Paul said to follow him as he followed God. You submit yourself to the authority God gave you, and God will bless you for that. If you won't submit to the authorities God puts in your life, you're a rebel. He said in verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song, has become my salvation. You know how you're going to make this thing? In His strength. Our strength will fail. Amen. Verse 21 said, for thou hast heard me. Aren't you glad He's listening to you?
Amen.
He said, this is the Lord's doing. You really believe God's in control or not?
Yes, sir.
Now we like that. Thou art my God. And we're praising, that's my God. That's my God. Was He going to be your God tomorrow morning?
Yes.
Is He going to be your God on the job? Or is your God just going to be whatever's convenient at that time?
Amen.
Is your God going to be the one that's just not offensive to anybody regardless of what they say or do?
Amen.
So when they say, well, so what do you think about gay marriage?
Amen.
I think it's real simple. There's no such thing.
Amen.
There's not.
Amen.
Marriage is one man and one woman as God created. Everything else isn't a marriage. I don't care if it's two women or whoever. It don't matter. But see, the world will want you to shut up. Well, you know, God's this loving God. Brother Drummond, I was talking about, you know, they only know about half about Jesus. Well, you know, Jesus, He's so much just, He's love. He is a God of love, right? Do y'all ever remember reading something about Jesus making a whip? Y'all remember him running the money changers out?
Amen. One of my favorite stories.
Is that your Jesus?
Amen.
Or is he just that loving one?
Amen.
What about that one that said, you bunch of scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites?
Amen.
You bunch of vipers?
Amen.
That's the same one, isn't it?
Amen.
That just means he's going to love you, but when you do wrong, he's going to chase you. He's going to fix you out.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's my God. Some of y'all ain't so excited anymore. You know, God's your God. Listen, whether it's a day of salvation or if it's a day of suffering. Take your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 1. I'm really trying to help. Now we know these passages, but we don't like them. You say, I love my Bible. You don't love everything in there. He says, bring your flesh into subjection. You don't like that. Hey, none of us like that if you're honest. Our flesh likes to be cozy. It wants its way. All right, now look at this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. He said, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. All right, stop right there. So there's something given to you on the behalf of Christ. You interested in what he has for you? Why, sure you are, aren't you? He said, not only to believe on him. Oh, I believe on him. Oh, yeah, I love the Lord. I believe in the Lord. But also to suffer for his sake.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Having the same conflict saw in me and now here to be in me. Now notice how he said to suffer for his sake. He didn't say suffer for your stupidity. I get frustrated when you see these guys that want to do public ministry and they'll stand right in front of a doorway of a store and they'll preach and the store owner will come out and say, look, you just kind of move over. All they got to do is move over like 6 feet and they can preach until the cows come home.
I have a right.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have a right to stand in front of that guy's door. And then they call the police. I've got a right to stand. And they say, look, dude, just scoot over. Seriously, nobody else is going to hear you if you scoot over 6 feet and still scream and holler? Really? No, they're suffering for their own ego. They want to give off some kind of a martyr complex. Like they're suffering for Jesus. They're not suffering for Jesus. They're suffering for being stupid. And there's times that we use God's name and we're stupid. You know, even the devil gets blamed for a lot of stuff. Ain't his fault. Amen. Sometimes you're like, well, that was the devil. No, that's your wicked flesh. That ain't nothing to do with the devil. The devil, he just likes to throw the lure out there. You like what's on the lure. Amen. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Listen, he said here, it's given in behalf of Christ. Also suffer for his sake.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So we say, this is the day which the Lord hath made.
Yes, sir.
Is there going to be suffering in that day? Are we still going to rejoice and be glad in it?
Yes,
amen. Now look in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible is so true and understands us so well, it's just amazing. He says in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, beloved, think it not strange. Now, you know in the Bible when God says think it not strange, He's telling us that because we think it's strange.
Yeah, that's right.
So He's telling us, don't think like that.
Amen.
We're like, but we think that way. I know, that's why I'm writing it down. Don't think that way.
Amen.
All right? Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. All right, here's us. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm being a good witness and testimony, the very best that I can wherever I'm at. I mean, I give. I'm faithful to church. And then trial. And you know what we say? I don't deserve that. Every one of us has experienced why?
Yes, sir.
Because the potter said, You got some stuff that needs to get worked out.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. But we think it's strange.
Yeah.
Because we believe in our heart that the only people that ought to have trouble are those wicked backslidden people.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Them wicked sinners.
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to tell you where all that wicked backsliding starts. Right here.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Because you backslide in your heart in here before you ever get out there.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
But he says that trial, that fiery trial, which is to try you, in the context of that trying, that's testing. You know, when they develop all different kind of products, they test them to make sure they're going to do what they're supposed to do. I mean, if they tell you this table's supposed to hold 500 pounds, if they've done it right, they have put over 500 pounds on that table. But they've determined that safely, you should be able to put 500 pounds on there. Why? Because it was tried.
Yes,
may I ask some, have you prayed and asked God to use you more?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Have you prayed and asked God to help you be a better witness?
Amen. That's the preacher, bro. Amen.
Then guess what? There's going to be something to test it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's the preacher.
We went through a really hard test and trial of our faith, my wife and I and a lot of our family a number of years ago. It's hard to believe that's been a brother a number of years ago, brother. But it was probably the most difficult spiritual thing that I'd faced in my life. I've been through a lot of different things. But I remember I was talking to a fella as a Christian brother, and he asked me, he said, how you doing? And I said, well, I'll be honest with you, I said, it's probably the hardest thing I've had to face in my life. I feel like I'm closer to God than I've ever been.
Amen.
And this is what a true friend is like. You know what he said to me? He said, preacher, wasn't that what you prayed for?
Yeah.
Now, I didn't pray for that trial.
Amen.
Some of you tonight are struggling. Because you prayed to walk closer to God, but you didn't like the way He brought it about. You said, did you like it? I already told you, didn't. Aren't you paying attention? But I'll tell you what, it's not only helped me, but it's helped me to help others. Brother Eastep, and many of you may have known Brother Eastep, he went home with the Lord here just a little bit ago, and but one of the things he taught all of us preacher boys, he said this. He said, listen, if you're going to minister to people, you're going to have to go through the same kind of troubles and trials other people go through.
Sure.
Otherwise, how are you really going to understand them?
Amen.
And Brother Rick, I remember after a few years of going through things, I said, preacher, I got a question for you. How many things you got to go through? You ever feel like, Lord, I think I've been through enough? You know when you'll know you've been through enough? He blows that trumpet, calls us home. Think it not strange. Now here's what's funny. He says, think it not strange concerning fire trials. Try you as some strange thing happening to you, but rejoice. Inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Yes. Amen.
If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye.
Amen.
Come on, are you really happy?
Not all the time. Amen.
Not right away.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But let me ask you that. Do you get there though?
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Amen.
It may take a little time, but you'll get there.
Amen.
If you walk with Him, you'll get there. He said, for the Spirit of the glory of God, the glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. But now look at this. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. In other words, again, it's not like that guy standing from the store. You're not suffering for being stupid. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But let Him glorify God on His behalf. See, He brings a trial, and He says to rejoice. He says you get reproached, you're supposed to be happy. you suffer, you're supposed to glorify God. You say, preacher, how do I do that? Trust in the Lord. You've got to trust in the Lord. Let me quickly show you. We'll wrap this up. Let me show you two Bible instances you're familiar with, but just to kind of bring along for you. Acts chapter 5. And most of you are familiar with this. God didn't leave us blind. He gave us the Word of God. And He gave us things so we could learn. And these are two incidences, and you can find many more, but these are two New Testament examples that I think that will help us. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 40, the apostles have been basically arrested. And so there's discussion about what to do with them. Now realize, all they've done is preach Christ. They've not broken one crime. They've not committed one crime. They've not broken one law. All right? Acts chapter 5, verse 40. To him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. Now you got to understand, they didn't just give them a smack on the hands. A beating. They'd beaten them. They commanded them they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily and in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know what they did? They didn't quit. You know a thing we've heard this week? Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give up. You get down, get back up. You get knocked down, get back up. Get back up. Listen, Christian. Get back up and keep going. Get back up and keep going. Some of you tonight, you're thinking about, I'm done with all this. You said, no, preacher, I've been shouting. No, no, I'm talking about in your heart.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about, listen, we're like the Catholics. We know how to do religion.
Yeah.
All right, people say, well, you know that Catholic church, they just go in there and they do this and they do this and up and down, they do this, that, and the other. If you've ever been in a mass, you see it. If you've seen it one time, you've seen it a million times. And you have Baptists do the same thing. He can come in, we sit down, we sing a song, take an offering, see a few more songs. Preacher gets up, he preaches. We sing another song, go to the house. If your preacher wants to mess with you, he'll come in and switch that up. And you'll panic. What's wrong with our preacher? Switch it up on you. Why? We got what's called Baptist religion. Amen. There's a lot of folks think they're going to heaven because they're Baptists. If you're a Baptist, you should be a Baptist by choice as a Christian. But don't think of being a Baptist as being a Christian. Don't think of being a Baptist is going to get you into heaven because it won't. Well, I look over in Acts 16. Acts 16. We realize that as this dear brother preached about being in the potter's house, the potter has a purpose. The potter has a plan for every one of his vessels. It might be a vessel made to hold flowers. Or it might be a vessel to hold water. You know what some of our problem is? The Bible says they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise.
Amen.
He made you a vessel for water and you're complaining because you're not carrying flowers.
Amen.
Instead of thanking God that He made you to carry water and carry the water better than anybody else carries water.
Amen.
All right, Acts 16:23. What's it say here about Paul and Silas? And when they had laid many stripes upon them. Let me ask you, what law did they break? What crime did they commit? Preaching the truth. You know what bothers us? When we kind of get it in the back and we know we didn't do anything wrong. And we would tell them, I didn't do nothing wrong. Why, it just happened to me. I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Well, maybe you're getting it because you're doing right. Amen. Listen, we've bought into this health and wealth gospel business that as long as you're living for God, everything's just going to be hunky-dory. Everything's just going to be fine. That's a lie out of the pits of hell.
Amen.
The brethren have already preached about all the stuff that Paul went through. He's talking about all the beaten and shipwrecked, all the stuff he went through.
Right.
And he was in the perfect will of God. Today we have a little bit of opposition. Oh, must not be God. Must not be God. Must not be God. We see somebody go through a hard time. They must be backslidden on God. What if God's trying their faith, and if we are to provoke one another to love and good works, and we're to comfort one another, maybe we're supposed to help them through it instead of judge them. If they're under chastening, they'll repent and get right. And you can be there for them too. We're the only group that kicks our wounded and beats them up while they're wounded. Instead of trying to help them. Now there's some don't want no help. You can't help them. You ever think about this when Christians get saved? You think about the sower and the seed. What's he talking about with that new Christian out there? You know what? Man, they get scorched. And then he says those are the ones that went through troubles and trials, tribulations, those things. Do you realize somebody you lead to Christ, the most important time is right after you lead him to Christ, because the devil wants to get at him. He wants to scorch him. He wants to get after him. And if you'll help them through that time, they'll build the strength and they'll be all right. But they're just not as spiritual as you. You don't have nothing to do with them. And you're just wicked as the devil. So it said they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Whoever received such a charge. See, now understand, them Romans, if that Roman jailer had a prisoner that got out, they took the jailer's life. You paid with your life for that prisoner getting away. They brought him in and said, you better not let this guy go. He said, I'll fix that, buddy. We're going to put him in the deepest, darkest part of this prison. That's what they did. And then they made their feet fast in the stocks. You ain't going to go far with your feet locked up. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going nowhere quick. So Paul and Silas then, you know, got a hold of CLA and complained to everybody about how bad they were treated. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That must have been the NIV. It says in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Let me ask you, has anybody around you ever heard you praise God? Or they hear you singing that junk music? You know, one man's lover is another man's wife. You're trying to draw close to God, you got to be kidding me. Amen? Amen. You say, you're surely against rock and roll? Yeah, and country western too. On all the rap junk and all the other junk out there. You say, you don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea. You have no idea. Lord got a hold of my wife and her. Man, I grew up listening to country. My grandma and grandpa used to sing country western music on the radio back in the day. I grew up with all that junk. And I remember coming home one time, and we lived in an apartment. My wife was already home and playing the music, and I don't even remember which song it was, but I know this. I got about halfway up the steps, and the Holy Spirit said, who are you trying to glorify? Yeah, right. Amen. So that Holy Spirit's tough, man. Amen. You know what we did? We sat down, and I had albums. I mean, if you laid them on their side, probably about that tall. I mean, some of them now would be worth a lot of money. It would be. So what'd you do? Well, I thought about just throwing them away. But then somebody will dumpster dive those babies. I know. So I got 10 snips. Went right through the cardboard, the vinyl, the whole nine yards. And we just sat there and had a little. Ain't nobody else going to listen to this junk neither. Took our cassette tapes. Some of you, you'll just have to ask your parents what those are. But we took those things. Brother Drummond still has 8 tracks. But anyway, just take those things, kick them out. My wife had one, was her favorite. She used a real heel and kicked it under the couch. That's all right. I'll tell her. She's probably listening. She'd tell you the same thing because she said it before. I got down, I was pulling something. I was like, hey, what's this? And I looked at her and she was just like, not this one too. That's how our flesh is. Amen. 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 You say you want to walk with God, but you worship the devil. Amen. What'd they do? Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Here's where the real miracle is. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Now you go to any county jail anywhere in this country and open all the doors with an earthquake, and that place will be empty in 10 seconds. This is what I believe. They saw these two men of God get beaten unjustly. They saw them thrown in the middle of the jail. They saw them put their feet in stocks. And they realized, man, them guys have been mistreated. You ever been mistreated? Unjustly? They got mistreated unjustly. And they begin praising God. They're singing praises to God. And while they're singing the praises to God, God sends an earthquake. I believe them fellas say, "You leave? Huh, man, I want to see what's going to happen next. We ain't never seen nothing like this before. Hey, there's some people around you while you're going through a difficult time in your life and you lift God up. This world says, we ain't seen nothing like that before." They haven't seen people that have lost the baby rejoice and praise God for His goodness. They haven't seen people lose loved ones and still praise God for His goodness. They haven't seen people lose their job and then turn around and praise God and God finds them another job. They never seen people go through hard times and yet still rejoice and praise God. World's watching. Paul cried with a voice, "Do thyself no harm, for all here." Then he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Listen. This story starts off with some men of God getting beaten and persecuted. You see, you know what our problem is? We focus on the beaten and persecuted part and forget about the what must I do to be saved part. One of the greatest passages in Scripture, use somebody to lead them to Christ. What must I do to be saved? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set me before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Now that part we like. But how did they get to the jailer's house? They had to first go through the prison house. How did Joseph get seated second to Pharaoh? He had to get thrown in a pit by his brothers with a plot to kill him. Instead, sold him as a slave. He gets blessed and then he gets lied about again, thrown back into jail again. But when he gets thrown into jail, he gets put in where they had the king's prisoners. Where do you think he learned how to be second to Pharaoh? Hang around the king's people. And at the exact right time that God already knew, God pulled him out and saved and started a nation. His people. Do you think Joseph was thinking that when his brothers threw him in the pit? See, we get short-sighted. We get in the pit and say, "Where's that God now?" Paul and Silas were beaten and they prayed and sang praises. The jailer, the doors opened, and he desired suicide for Paul and Silas. Different doors were open, and they preached Christ. You ever pray for an open door to be a witness?
Amen.
What if that means the jail door first?
Amen.
The jailer heard the gospel, believed in God, and rejoiced. Closing, let me mention a few things to you. I want you to think about these things. You know, the Pilgrim's Progress in this world to that which is to come is a 1678 Christian allegory written by John Bunyan. It's regarded as one of the most significant works of religious theological fiction in the English literature. It's been translated into more than 200 languages and has never been out of print. It has also been cited as the first novel written in English. Bunyan began his work while in the Bedfordshire County Prison for violations the Covenantile Act of 1664, which prohibited the holding of religious services outside the auspices of the established Church of England. I want you to think about how many of you in here have ever read Pilgrim's Progress? A bunch of you, right? Most of the kids in Christian school have to read Pilgrim's Progress somewhere along that line. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think in 1678 that Mr. Bunyan would have thought that what he wrote would still be affecting Christian lives today? In 2021? You say, well, I don't know if what I do is going to last that long. It may not have to be that long. But maybe what you're going through, you don't know. If you'll walk with God through it, what God can do with that. It's amazing when you think about how many authors of our hymns had some disability or wrote out of some difficult experience in their lives. Perhaps we fail to realize that with the trials and tribulations, there comes a new understanding of the grace of God. Brother Drummond mentioned this earlier about Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby wrote, they say anywhere between 5,500 to 9,000 hymns, and the count is obscured by the many pseudonyms that she used because of her modesty. She wrote, "To God be the glory, all the way my Savior leads me," and she was blind. George Matheson wrote, O love that will not let me go, he was blind. William Walford wrote, "Sweet Hour of Prayer," was also blind. Lelia Morris wrote, "What If It Were Today and Near Still Near," was also blind. Annie Johnson Flint wrote, "He giveth more grace and God hath not promised," was confined to her room with a crippling arthritis most of her life. So was Lydia Baxter, who wrote, "Take the name of Jesus with you." Charlotte Elliott was bedridden invalid when she wrote the great invitation hymn, "Just As I Am." Catherine Hankey wrote, "I love to tell the story, tell me the old story," wrote her hymns while confined to bed to recover from a serious illness. Eliza Hewitt wrote, "More About Jesus and When We All Get to Heaven," developed a severe spinal condition and was confined to bed for a long period. Frances Ridley Havergill wrote, "Take My Life and Let It Be," and Who Is on the Lord's Side, was in poor health all her life, and she died at the age of 43. Charles Chisholm wrote, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," served as a pastor for a short time, but frail health forced him to resign. Major Daniel Whittle wrote, "Showers of Blessing" and "Have You Any Room for Jesus," was a Civil War amputee. William Cowper wrote, "There is a fountain filled with blood," suffered from bouts of suicidal depression. Joseph Scriven wrote, "What a friend we have in Jesus," seems to have suffered from depression as well. George Young wrote, "God leads us along" as a declaration of faith after a time of great family tragedy. Horatio Spafford wrote, "It is well with my soul" after his wife and three daughters drowned in a shipwreck. Luther Bridges wrote, "He keeps me singing" after the death of his wife and children in a fire. Thomas Dorsey wrote, "Precious Lord, take my hand" after his wife died giving birth to her son, who also died. Can you see that this is the day which the Lord hath made? Amen. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. What are you going through? Let's give you the last passage, Hebrews 12. I'm just going to read this. And I just want to ask you, what is it you're going through right now that you think God's not fair? What is it you're facing in your life right now where you think God doesn't know what He's doing? Listen, is there bitterness in your heart for things that have happened in your life because you won't let them go? You know, bitterness in your life only really hurts you the most, and eventually that bitter root will affect others.
Amen.
You know what some of you might need to do tonight? Listen to me. And I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. Will you listen?
Amen.
Some of you tonight need to get down here and say, "God, forgive me for being bitter about some things you've let happen in my life." Well, our brother preached this morning about loving the Master.
Amen.
And if you didn't hear that, you need to hear that.
Amen.
But you know what he talked about? Some of us have been there. You go through things with the kids where you have to say, "Lord, this is your kid.
Amen.
Lord, my wife's your wife."
Yes, sir.
Because you love him.
Yes, sir.
Some of you are still hanging on.
Amen.
You got to let go.
Yes, sir.
If not, the bitterness will eat you up. Listen, some of us pastors, people have treated you wrong. Listen, some of you pastors' wives, oh my goodness. Some of the burdens you've borne. Say, how do you know about pastors' wives? I married to one. They bear a burden a whole different than what the man does.
Amen. Right.
Some of you pastors' wives, you carrying that stuff around with you? If this is a day which the Lord hath made and we will rejoice and be glad in it, we need to confess that thing. We need to bring that burden. He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Right.
He cares for you. Give it to Him. Let Him take care of it. He said, that's hard to do. I didn't say it was easy, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now look at this. The joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand throne of God. Jesus Christ is our example. You know what He did while God was pouring the judgment of the sins of me and you on Him? He looked down and said, I see the finish line.
Amen.
He saw every one of us.
Amen.
He saw all of us in our sin. But God commended His love towards us. And while we're yet sinners, as wicked as we are, He looked down and said, I love you. And I love you so much, I'm going to let God judge me in your place. Go ahead, Father. Because right now I'm looking and I'm seeing these people that I'm going to save. These people are going to have eternal life and have their sins forgiven if I take this wrath. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you.